Welcome back to Two Gals in a Glass Half Full. If you, I'm sure all of us, have ever had trouble sleeping, you're going to want to listen in to today's episode. Before we get started, Dr. Jess, what is in your glass?
So I am drinking lemon water today. I've got just fresh squeezed lemon in water, and it's absolutely fantastic. I drink way more if I just add a little bit of something good, right? So, Dr. Bobby, what's in your glass?
I am having some kombucha.
Oh.
So this is not homemade. This is store-bought. This is strawberry. But I had a little bit of a stomach bug over the weekend, and my body's still trying to come back from that. So trying to put some good stuff into my system to help it.
Awesome. I like that. And well, I don't like that you're sick, but I do like that you're sick. That was awful, right?
Yes.
So today we've got a special guest with us. This is Martha. Martha, before you introduce yourself, what's in your glass?
I just have some water, but it does have some electrolyte drops in there as well.
There we go. I like it. So Martha, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am a functional health coach specializing in sleep. So, somehow in a roundabout way, my whole world and career seems to be revolved around sleep, which I love to do. So, But yeah, I live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is a ski town. So I'm watching it snow right now, and I like to play outdoors and love having my own business and working from home as well.
Oh, there you
That's
go.
awesome. We normally are, Chicago is normally kind of in the same weather, but some reason that, which I'm not complaining, we have like 70 out today. It's 72. It
Crazy.
was 30 yesterday or the day, but it was 72 today.
That sounds amazing.
Right. So Martha, why do people have such a hard time sleeping these days? Like, what's the why behind that?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with how much life has changed. And I mean, it always blows my mind to think of how much has changed in just 200 years or less. Like, the light bulb was not invented, cars were not invented. The Industrial Revolution hadn't happened. So, like, there weren't as many toxins in our environment and things like that. And, even more recently with screens and technology, like, we can just, be busy all the time. And so I think we tend to live busy lifestyles. Our food has totally changed in 100 years and what we're eating and the amount of stress we're under and the amount of toxins that we're exposed to. So I think it's really all of those factors that have led to us not being as healthy anymore as well, and that's now affecting our sleep.
I mean, I can resonate with all of that because, like, like just today, like, I got to log on for this podcast and, like, my keyboard's not working, right? So there goes my stress response, right? If my heart rate elevate, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be late. I was totally going to be right on time. I was, I swear, Bobby, I was going to be on time. That's not my strength. And so, like, if I don't process that and just let it go, right? And then I hold that, then by the end of the day, I mean, I'm so wired that there's like no way that I'm gonna like chill. Like, it takes such intention to like come back down, like, it's fine, the worst case scenario. I'm on my laptop, not with the right lighting. I've got bags under my eyes. Yeah, the lighting's making it look bad, but that's okay, Because, like, worst case scenario, my building didn't catch on fire. I'm still alive. I'm okay, right? But, like, my body was saying I wasn't. So I could totally get that chronic stress.
And I feel like you say talk about being busy, and I even look like 20, 30 years ago compared to now, like holy cow, like I just, running all the time and gotta do this, gotta do that. And looking at the advancement of cell phones, and how do people, like, 'cause I hear it all the time, how do people live 20, 30 years ago when you couldn't get a hold of someone in an instant? Like you had to leave a message on their phone and you had to wait for them to call you back and get home,
Yeah, but we also didn't feel like we had to be like on call all the time.
That's
I
true. Oh,
mean, I
yeah.
feel like you hear an older generation and they answer their phone like, I can't talk right now. And it's like, you actually don't have to answer your phone. But like, we're just, conditioned now that we've got to be available all the time.
Very true. Especially owning your own business. I feel like when you're owning a business, you feel like you're on 24/7. And maybe in the beginning, a little bit you are, But you know, creating those boundaries down the road is challenging.
Absolutely. So if we know that most of us, or a lot of us, maybe not most, but a lot of us, don't get enough sleep. So what are some of the effects of that? Like what are some things we're going to see?
Yeah, you know, I think there are two camps. I mean, it's supposedly like a third of adults don't get, you know, at least 7 hours of sleep a night in the United States. So it's like some people can't sleep and other people aren't prioritizing their sleep. So, you know, I think you're coming at it from a prioritizing question, which I like.
I fall
And
into both.
yeah, nice.
Depends on the swing I'm in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, there are lots of long-term effects for not getting enough sleep. And so the recommendation is between 7 and 9 hours. Not everyone needs 8 hours, right? Some people are fine with seven, but like multiple studies have shown that getting fewer than 7 hours of sleep just puts you at risk for many different chronic diseases. So everything from heart disease to depression to diabetes to Alzheimer's to certain forms of cancer. And so yeah, there's so many repairing processes that happen while we sleep, and our growth hormone is released while we sleep, which is important for adults as well. And so, yeah, so many, you know, it's where our memories are made and consolidated and then stored and organized. And so much is happening while we're asleep. We're not, you know, especially in REM sleep, if you look at your brain waves, like there, it's going crazy. It's not just at rest. So a lot is definitely happening. And I know, you know, even in the short term, though, I think that that's where what motivates people, especially who aren't able to sleep well. It's like the brain fog, the memory loss. It's feeling negative, right? And like unmotivated. It's not making good decisions. It's not being able to focus and concentrate. Like it affects us in so many different ways. And I think sometimes people get used to not sleeping enough and just think that they're functioning fine. But once they start getting more sleep, they realize like, oh, I could have been doing a lot better.
I'm in a phase of life right now where with a little one that it's like I am lucky if I get 2 hours in a row, especially right now. And so when I do get a night of like 3, 4 hours, like it's like amazing. It's like, oh, I feel so good. But last night I had such big hopes for today. You know, get up, work out. It's supposed to be 70s here and it's supposed to normally 30s and it's gonna go back to the 30s, but go for a nice walk and run with my daughter and this and that, and had like a list of all this stuff. And then we were up all night. And so instead of waking up feeling great, I woke up with a headache, not feeling well, exhausted. And it's like, I can't get myself too motivated to do anything. And I just want to go back to bed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I resonate with all of that because ours, like, my sleep kind of waxes and wanes depending on how busy work is compared to what's going on with the kids. You know, that middle of the night stomach bug that, like, you're never going to recover from that, right? Like, you know, the 1 a.m. wake up, you know, with like the vomiting for 5 hours, you know, it's like, so it's like now it's like my immune system's going to be depleted because I'm up helping somebody with a stomach bug. And even though like I'm like so careful about washing, now I'm like, oh no, like now I'm even more susceptible to this because I didn't sleep well. So it's like this cycle that happens. And breaking that cycle, I think, really takes intention, you know. And with that, I think that's a lot of what you do, right? So as far as like breaking that cycle, like what are ways that people can start to say, okay, like my intention is like I want to prioritize sleep. Like, what are different things that you typically will start with?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because most of my clients are coming to me because they can't sleep. Like they
Like
want to
insomnia.
sleep and they can't sleep. But yeah, I would say prioritizing is, you know, definitely like choosing a bedtime and also choosing like a time that you're going to wind down. I know for me, if I try and work on the computer after 8 o'clock, I do not sleep well. So I just have this boundary that I don't do that. You know, unless I have to, and then I just know what's going to happen. But,
You're going to pay the price, right? So that's the cost benefit analysis. That's kind of everything in my brain is like cost benefit, cost benefit, cost benefit. And sometimes the cost is really, really high and the benefit's low. And sometimes it's maybe switched, right? But I'm, yeah, the computer at night, like bad news bears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think people, can also do things gradually. So say you're going to bed at 1 in the morning and you want to go to bed at 10. Well, you want to gradually get there. So maybe shoot for midnight and then shoot for 11 and, to get to where you want to be instead of just trying to switch all at once.
Yeah. And I like the phase that you talk about with like the calm down phase. Like, because like everybody needs time to wind down. And I think everybody's amount of time is different. So I think like understanding how long that is for you is really key. Because it took me a minute to realize my husband needs 5 minutes. I need like an hour, right? Like he sits down and he's like, all right, let's watch a show. I'm like, oh no, I need to settle in. I need some quiet. I need to turn off the day. And then like after an hour, I'm like, all right, I feel relaxed. Now I can go to bed, right? But if I don't like have that hour of just settled and not thinking, like no way. Like the thoughts are going to be like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about that? Right? So I think like that time, that frame is different for everybody too.
Yeah, it can be for sure. So yeah, so figuring that out and then, prioritizing that as well.
Yeah.
I also think not only the time frame is different, but the activity that you do is different. So for me, if I'm watching TV or playing on my, no, I'm not gonna say it. If I'm watching TV or like reading, using my phone for something, I end up being way longer. But if I'm reading a book or I have like and I hesitated when I said my phone because I do have these like they're brain games on your phone, so it's like word, it like makes your brain work a little bit. So it challenges my brain and it kind of helps me avoid thinking about the rest of the day because I'm focused on like the different words or the pattern or something. And both of those things, reading or doing that, will like I'll be out within like 5, 10 minutes. So I think like finding that activity that you that is good for you to like help your body calm down, help your brain shut down basically.
Yeah, exactly. And everything says for good sleep, don't watch screens before bed. I watch screens before bed. I watch TV before bed. And I don't think that that is why people have chronic insomnia. Like there's more going on that we'll talk about. But I'll tell you, like, it matters what I watch. I don't like action and thrillers and, any of that. Like I need to watch some lighthearted things or else it totally, I can feel my body being stressed and then I have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah, it ramps you up. Like I like a little bit of like home renovation shows, talking about like some like Animal Planet, like a good documentary and like, oh yeah, that's like perfect. I don't have to think a whole lot. I'm entertained, but it's not like getting me stressed, like the music comes on and the next thing's about to happen. You're like, ah, this is awful. Why is this entertaining? Okay, so that's like people that don't suffer from insomnia, but just like it's just a priority thing. And I can just speak from experience that this has been an issue in my life, where I get so busy and I've got so many things that like I want to accomplish that I sometimes don't prioritize myself. And within side of prioritizing myself, it is sleep, right? And so, one other thing I do for me is I have a little alarm that goes off on my phone, and it's like gives me my little warning. Remember, your bedtime is coming up, right? Because like it helps me, right? Like I'm like, oh yeah, like oh my gosh, it got later than I realized. And so that kind of helps me gauge the rest of what's coming up, So I put things in place and then it helps me hold myself accountable. So now we're going to talk about insomnia because this is like for real. I mean, this is awful. Like if you are actually prioritizing sleep and you can't sleep for different reasons, I mean, that is awful. I haven't struggled with it a ton, but I've had phases where it's like you just toss and turn all night and it's like you just feel like garbage the next day. So what are some of the common causes of insomnia?
Yes. So I think what people don't know is that there can actually be underlying health issues that affect sleep. And so, when you Google how to sleep better, it's the same advice over and over again, right? It's like, don't watch screens before bed, exercise every day, have a routine and wind down, like all these things. And I will tell you from personal experience, it's so frustrating to be doing all those things and you still can't sleep and there's nothing else out there. So I definitely want people to know, like, there are so many different imbalances in the body that can affect sleep. So everything from hormone imbalance, from gut health and like having a pathogen living in your gut, for example, mineral imbalance. Yeah. Like toxins, like heavy metals, lack of neurotransmitters, lack of different nutrients. So all these imbalances in the body can affect sleep and you don't even know they're there, especially if your only symptom is not sleeping well.
Mm-hmm. So would you test for that? Would you do like a blood test or a microbiome or like what kind of testing would you do?
Yeah. So I do 4 different functional lab tests in the program that I do to look for everything that could be affecting sleep.
Yeah.
And none of them involve blood actually. So like I do a dried urine test for hormones, for cortisol. It also looks at liver function, which is another thing that many of my clients have is their liver isn't detoxing properly. And then I do a stool test for gut health to show what's living in the gut, how well you're digesting food. I do a neurotransmitter test, which is urine, and then a hair test that looks at mineral balance and heavy metals. So looking for, you know, all the possibilities that could be affecting someone's sleep.
I love that. I love all the data that you can get from that. And like, you don't have to go somewhere and get like a needle stick, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if I don't have to get stuck by a needle and draw something out of me, I'd rather not. Yeah.
Same here. Same here.
Yeah. Fine. Although I have to say, you know, collecting your stool isn't all that much fun either, but you get to do it at home.
Yeah. I had C. diff when I was 18. So like, I had so many, like, I was just like a regular at the Quest. Nice. I was like, here's my brown bag. Never want to relive that moment in my life. That was awful. Right. Be careful with antibiotics, everybody. Okay. They don't always tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want C. diff. It's a bowel infection. So getting into some of these tests, right? So we talked about hormones, and I think sometimes we forget, like, hormones play a big role in our body, and we don't really understand how do they work, right? They are complex little buggers.
Yeah. They have so many functions, you know, besides just reproduction for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I see a lot of hormone imbalance but I will say in men too. So men and women, like low estrogen, low progesterone can both lead to sleep issues. When estrogen is higher than progesterone in women, or higher than testosterone in men, it's called estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. And that can be a sign that the liver isn't clearing estrogen properly. And that can lead to sleep issues. High testosterone can lead to sleep issues. And then, yes, and that's just as far as sex hormones go. You know, one of the other hormones I'm looking at is cortisol. And this is a big reason why people are awake in the middle of the night or having a hard time falling asleep is because their body's releasing cortisol at that time when it shouldn't be. Yeah. And so, you know, that's definitely related to stress, as we've been talking about busyness, not winding down, but it can also, the body can release cortisol when the liver isn't detoxing properly and toxins are circulating around, which cause inflammation. And cortisol is also an anti-inflammatory hormone. So anytime there's inflammation, the body also releases cortisol. Same with, like I mentioned, a pathogen in the gut. So if there's a parasite or bacterial overgrowth or yeast like candida, first of all, those creatures are nocturnal. So it's the middle of the night that they're most active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're releasing all these toxins, which causes all this inflammation. And then the body releases cortisol to deal with that inflammation, but it's also going to wake us up. So that's a super common reason why people wake up around 3 and 4, like clockwork every night, and can't get back to sleep. And it's crazy to see it on a test. Like I actually had a parasite and I could see my cortisol was just through the roof. Like it was higher in the middle of the night than it was the rest of the 24 hours. So it totally made sense why I wasn't sleeping.
No wonder.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I didn't know this. Super interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you found the parasite from the stool sample,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Huh. So cool. I mean, I had it, but cool that you could find
right.
it.
I know.
And these tests you're talking about, are they all ones you can do at home and like send in if you're working with a functional medicine doctor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
no, that's great.
awesome.
So as far as like, things that you can do, right? So like, what are some like simple little steps that you can do today that would potentially help with sleep?
So when we talk about inflammation, one of a major way we actually get inflammation is through the foods that we eat, if we're eating processed foods. So really, like I tell everyone, if you aren't sleeping, you should like the first thing you should do is go on an anti-inflammatory diet. And so that means like eliminating, refined sugar, refined flour, refined oils, which are going to be in all processed foods. Even gluten and dairy are inflammatory for a lot of people. If your gut isn't healthy, then you can be sensitive to those foods. And alcohol is also very inflammatory as well. So eliminating those foods can really help. And, that means focusing more on like a paleo diet might work for someone. Focusing on a whole food diet can really go a long way. Another thing I haven't mentioned yet too is blood sugar. So if you're like on this blood sugar roller coaster all day, which again can happen with, especially with processed foods and refined sugar and carbohydrates, then that roller coaster continues into the night. Whenever blood sugar drops too low, our bodies release cortisol. Because it's stressed and cortisol literally puts glucose into the cells. So it raises blood sugar again. And so, yeah, so if your blood sugar is up and down all day, it's going to happen in the night. And so that can be another reason for waking up in the middle of the night. So getting like testing blood sugar, there are glucometers you can buy at the drugstore, or even getting a continuous glucose monitor that's looking at your blood sugar all the time. Like those are the first two things I would tell anyone who isn't sleeping well to start with before even doing the testing, because it could be as simple as those two things. And you don't even need the testing.
I would, probably about 5 years ago, maybe no longer at this point, I was just having a lot of issues, a lot of headaches. I felt nauseous before. If I didn't eat, I felt nauseous even worse if I did eat. Like it was just like this nasty cycle. And so at that point, what was big was the Whole30. So I did it for 5 weeks, and I will tell you, probably when I hit about 2.5 to 3 weeks in, I all of a sudden was sleeping through the night. I wasn't tired during the day. I didn't have migraines, and it was the first time in my life I realized, like, ooh, what I eat actually does affect my body. And it was, if I wouldn't have had that experience, I just think today I wouldn't believe in how much our nutrition really does affect our overall body.
Yeah. And so with that diet, yeah, you cut out any of those processed foods.
Yeah, it's basically the anti-inflammatory diet that you said,
Yeah.
taking out
Exactly.
all of that. So,
Yeah.
yeah, and when I first got out of graduate school, I was trying to be pretty diligent about eating a whole foods diet, but I was not gluten free, and I was not sleeping well, like at all. And so I was like, is it my work stress? Is it, I'm like trying to identify all of the different variables. And I made a lot of changes, which were helpful, and it did help, I would say. But then I actually started then getting a little bit reactive to gluten. And it seemed like it was like I have these thresholds where I can get away with some, and then I have too much, and then I just really feel like garbage. And so I just was like, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna go completely gluten free. And that was kind of like the last tick in my check, like all my check boxes of the changes I made. And it was like, oh, interesting. That was helpful, And I guess I didn't think of gluten as being as inflammatory for me as it was, because I had had it my whole life, but like it was, and so yeah. And I mean, I do very little dairy, mainly just some half and half of my coffee, and that's probably about it. And it's just being fully anti-inflammatory diet, like, and I mean, then obviously my family is on it too, because we're all gonna eat the same. And it's made a lot of positive changes for our family as well. So I will say, like, anti-inflammatory diet, like, it's easier than it used to be. To be gluten-free and dairy-free. There's like some really good quality products that are out there, and it doesn't have to taste like cardboard or, like it's taken a little
Yeah.
while to find some like vegan cheeses that are decent. but it's helped us a lot.
Yeah,
Well,
awesome.
I think the hardest part about that is A, changing your mindset. And then B, so changing your mindset. And don't grab the bag of Cheetos, don't grab the bag of chips when you're hungry, when you want a snack. Especially if we're adults and we're older, how many years have we been doing that? That's habit. It's almost kind of like second nature. Or looking for that caffeine, grabbing that soda. That's my Diet Coke. One a day, and I know it's so bad for you, but like that's my one battle there. But also, I think it does take a little work and you have to prepare. So you know you're going to be hungry. So prepare, have that bowl of fruit in the fridge already cut up. So that way you're not having to take the time to cut up the fruit, to cut up the veggies. Like having it ready is something that's really helped me. So taking my Sundays to kind of try to prepare as much as I can for the week. So that way, when you are starving, when you come in, you're tired and you want something right now, you have something a little bit a healthier option to reach for.
Yeah, no, I
Yeah.
agree. That's the only way I think it's really sustainable. Otherwise it's nothing that you're not gonna maintain glucose regulation throughout the day if you get to the point where you're so hungry that you're starving, and then it's gonna be like overeat, gobble gobble, load your system with way too much, and then now you're like uncomfortable having to digest, and then you're gonna go all the way back down again, and your body's just like doing whiplash the whole time. It's like, what is happening? Versus just kind of fueling it as the day goes. And it's like, oh, I like this much better. At least that's
Yeah.
how my body feels. It does this when I eat like that. Awesome. So Martha, if people wanted to learn more about you and your business and how to get in contact with you, like what's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, my website is thesleepdetective.com.
Love that.
And
Great.
I am on Facebook as The Sleep Detective and Instagram as Martha Lewis Sleep Detective. So find me in those places.
I love it. And so we'll link her information in the description below. And so that way, if any of you are interested in doing some of the hormone testing and stools testing, if this is something that you're struggling with, then like definitely reach out. Big time. Like there's so many changes that actually really could be helpful, that don't always involve having to do like something as major as like major testing that could be
Sleep
considered to
study,
be.
blood
Yeah.
work,
Right.
you
Yeah.
know, those things.
Overall, we just want to say thank you so much for coming on. Like we really love learning from people and sharing that knowledge with others. And anybody that's listening, if you like found this to be helpful and you can like think, you know what? I know Joe needs to know this. Okay. Send it to Joe. Like Joe needs to know, or Jill, whoever it might be. So don't hold it to yourself. Share it. Spread the knowledge. Spread that wealth of information. And then if you like what we're putting out, like, follow, subscribe, say a little hello. We love a little positive message every now and again. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We've got more episodes coming out.